Hi, welcome back to the Chasing Tone podcast. I'm Travis.
I'm Max.
Ryan.
And with us again, very special guest. Back by popular demand, I might say. And I've also heard best guest ever, Mr. Frank Falbo. Hey, I'm not saying this. I'm just repeating stuff. So you can't put
it's
this
on the
on
paper.
Me. Yeah.
But then I started looking on like a lot of the comments on the podcast, and like every one of them has at least someone going like, "This was the best one ever."
Right. Yeah. And they all have a recurring theme.
Yeah.
With three thumbs down.
And then another one says, "Travis talks 95% of the time. He sucks."
That's true.
Sorry.
That is true.
Sorry.
It's true. About the 95% of the time. The other thing
I didn't think you'd
amazing.
Realize it was me.
Yeah. It said Falbo Designs.
I know. Like an idiot.
Yeah.
You need like another, YouTube account or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess we can get right into it. Oh, unless I got some news. Finished my amp.
Boom.
Channel 1 sounds delicious. Channel 2 sounds like ton of noise.
That's just an effect though, right?
Yeah, no, huh?
How'd that go?
You can rewind it after you watch the podcast. Mm-hmm. But
you just got to work that into a song. A
lot of noise, but
it
sounds
great.
It's
time to write a new tune.
It is. This will be my innovative breakthrough.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm happy about that. Yeah, man. So let's jump into it, right?
Sure.
So topic suggestions on this numbered sheet of paper. Max numbers the papers.
I do.
Doubles. But you know what? The thing that does bug me, buddy, is there's different font types on here.
Yeah, you gotta make all your font types and
you
sizes
couldn't,
the same.
You couldn't command A.
Simple solution.
Change the font.
Do it yourselves. Huh? How about that?
Look at it.
You spend a little less time.
Changing the font. Hashtag testy. Wait a minute. Don't click on that. Don't click on that.
Hashtag sore spot.
Yeah, sore spot. I wouldn't even
do
that.
Don't even do that one.
That's true.
Okay. So does this guy leave his this gentleman leave his name? He didn't. This guy didn't leave his name? Okay. Yeah, right. He said he didn't say it into the mic. He said hashtag butthurt, but don't search that hashtag either. Max wants to say something, but
yeah, I can't say that.
Okay. So, and back to the old mics. Come on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. This is the second episode back with the old mics.
Actually.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I can't
second
remember.
Or third.
Okay. Anyway, anyway, how dare you try something new? How dare you try something new?
Well, but in my defense, I didn't know that those mics sucked so bad.
Right.
Until I heard it played on YouTube and they're like,
right. But
it's
another
terrible.
Thing is, if we just went with what was tried and true all the time, all we would have is distortion pluses.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Or fuzz faces or something. You know?
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
You got to try something new, right? Or
sure.
Tube screamers. But anyway.
I think it was manufactured drama. I think you guys purposely did it. You got everyone riled up. And then they're going to tune in to the next one to try to see what you're doing now with the microphones. I think that's how you
cut this
plan.
Part out.
If it were, cut this part out. If it did work, you're exactly right. We totally did that. But so
geniuses.
This guy didn't leave his name, and I know people kind of get frustrated whenever.
Where's it at? There.
It's this one. Here, I don't. But people get a little frustrated if we don't say their names. But he didn't leave his name. But it was a good question. He said, Bummer. "What are your thoughts about recording guitar in a home studio setup?" I have a lot of experience with this, but I'll let someone else go.
I don't. So
okay.
I'm not gonna comment.
Great. Okay. Do you have it? I mean,
just for practice, like I just run into Amplitude. You know.
Okay.
Just for like a quick and easy, down and dirty type of thing.
Yeah. Do you?
I mean, there. No one thing ever does it. So the bigger question is like, you know, what do you mean? Do you mean it's my home studio and I only have a certain number of mics or I only have this or whatever? But, you know, I mean, some tips I can give would be you can get some liveliness out of some things. People do a lot of like reamping.
Yes.
So they'll record direct to the computer and then they'll bring that out to a different amp and they'll mic that amp later.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can mess around with plugins, or you can mess around with, you know, the the modeling things later on. And so the only thing I can say about a home studio setup is if you're going to be creative about that. If you're like, man, I only got a couple of mics. I got my old condenser mic I use for vocals. Well, I can't put that too close to the amp.
Right.
Because it's going to clip on me and sound bad. So I got to draw it back. Is to just start experimenting with time alignment. So if you have multiple sources, yeah, it's huge. So that would be the, you know, a little tip or trick that I could say about home studio recording is if you're going to do something where you have amplitude and you're going to mix that with a real amp, even though the real amp isn't like mic'd awesomely and so perfect, and that's why you're kind of blending the two, just like people have a decent drum sound, but they'll put drum samples over the top of it.
Right.
So it's layered, you know, then time alignment is your friend. So you need to get in there, depending on what software you're using. Some try to do it automatically, or they'll just find the peaks, and Pro Tools has a thing.
There's
where it's
plugins
like,
for it.
Yeah, I can tell this is already 3 milliseconds away from that one.
Right.
But otherwise, if you have to do it manually, just try to zoom in and line them up.
Yeah, and there's other things you can do to use the opposite. The opposite effect to your advantage, and that's like you're saying, you know, if you have like a 57 and a condenser, put the 57 like on the, you know, on the actual speaker on the cab, and then you can use the time alignment of just the natural time it takes to get to your condenser at the back of the ISO room or whatever you're using.
Right, you can leave it.
Yeah, and that can make it sound. Yeah, that
but if they're too close, then there's usually comb filtering and phase cancellation and stuff like that, so you have to manipulate it.
A cool trick too is you can mic the corner. Have you ever done that?
In a room?
Yeah, in a room. Yeah. Like, mic the actual, like, what would you call it? That point in which the access or whatever, where both walls and the ceiling meet. That's a cool place to mic. It's pretty cool. But I can tell you, I've gotten professional results, like national recording quality results out of my home studio. And I'll tell you my signal chain. It was just, I used a 57. Is it an AKG 414? Is that right? Is that the mic?
Maybe
I think I could be wrong.
Sennheiser?
No, it's AKG. Okay. That's the 421 a Sennheiser. But I think it was AKG 414. I used that in the room. I used a 57 on the cone, off axis on the speaker, I should say. And then I went into Imperial Labs distressor.
Yes.
And then into an Apogee Duet 2, which has great converters.
Yeah.
And then right into Pro Tools. And that whole rig, the mic's probably gonna cost the most money, but the distressor you can get for about $1,000, used $1,500 new, I think maybe, and then the duet's $600. So I mean, you're getting prosumer level stuff for under $3,000.
Yeah, gear is good now.
Yeah,
but just be creative.
Exactly. You
know? I mean, do weird stuff. Mic the back of the amp.
Yeah,
and then phase invert that so it's aligned with what was with what you're getting from the front of the amp. Don't just time align those. You know, invert the phase. So you know, because one's up when the other one's down.
Or don't try. You know, or try it that way too. You know, I mean, you'll hit on something. So
yeah.
I thought that was a good question and something we could kind of take into consideration.
Yeah.
I don't have your paper.
Oh, well,
so I have the
is
one.
Is it this one?
I want to jump right in.
Or not.
Yeah,
Okay, well, let's go in order then. Okay, this is good. Thoughts about celebrity guitarists having guitars that they're pimping that they wouldn't actually play themselves. I'm going to give examples because they're written on the paper.
Yeah.
But he says Slash has two different Epiphone guitars with his name on them that he wouldn't be caught dead playing. Bonamassa has an Epiphone signature model that he doesn't play. And he says, Tommy Thayer, and then in parentheses, he says, fake ace. And Kiss has a signature guitar from Epiphone and that he doesn't
play. Nice guy, though.
Yeah, is he? See, I don't know. But, you know, that's why I said that's, and I can't quote the guy, so.
Yeah.
But
he didn't put his name so he can't get sued.
Right. In Bonamassa's defense, I heard him do a show on the YouTubes, but he did a show where he was using 4 Marshall Class 5s and his Epiphone Les Paul, and it sounded monstrous.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's so much. I think it's basically just saying, hey, this is approved by me, and it's a budget model. Just because I don't play it, it is something that I would play. It's something I feel strongly enough to put my name on.
Yeah.
You can get my style tones out of something in your budget.
Well, here's what I like about it. I like that Joe Bonamassa has an expensive Gibson Les Paul that we all know that he plays, or he plays other Gibson
335.
Yeah, or he plays other Gibsons that are older that we all know that. So it's cool that you can play the old Gibson. You know, he's got 59s and things like that. So he's already endorsing those things. He has those models. And same thing with Slash. where then the next thing is, well, how do I, can I make a guitar that's affordable?
Exactly.
For people to play that like me. And so in Slash's case, it has the same Slash pickups instead of like an Epiphone pickup.
Right.
It has those things on it. So it's not just like a, I wouldn't call it like a money grab or anything like that. It's, it, you know, it's a, it's the next best thing.
Right.
What I don't like to see is somebody who plays only this level gear, but the only signature model that they have is an inexpensive signature model that you know they never play. Sometimes you see that with tertiary brands, you know, not the number, not the top 10 brands, but you might have somebody who you know in the studio is using a laundry list of fantastic gear.
Right.
And then...
What, Max? Did he yawn again? Did he yawn? Did
and
he
then as soon as they get, you know...
I think he was...
As soon as they're on camera, all of a sudden, out comes the, you know... Right. Whatever, the $599
Right, guitar. Of course. Of course. Right. Yeah, you're right. And, right. and you know, I'm going to borrow one of your lines. What is it? What was one of your lines I said this morning? He's like, tell me again how that's hurting you or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, you can't take this stuff too seriously. Like you say, you know, like, I can't believe that such and such a brand is selling this thing and there's no way that this artist would play. It's like, how's that something I'm doing to you?
Yeah,
like,
how's that something I'm doing to you?
You don't have to buy it, you know.
I love that line.
You don't have to buy it. You know, like that's the ultimate, you know, the decision rests in the hands of the marketplace. You know, no one says you, if you want to sound like Slash, you have to buy an inferior instrument because the good ones are unavailable.
Right.
In that, in those cases, like I said, Bonamassa and stuff like that. But you'll see it. I mean, there's ESPs and sometimes we're like, you know, actually they do that a lot where, there is a really expensive Japanese ESP model that is the one that the guy is playing, you know, most often. And then they'll have an LTD. They'll have like the, you know, the lower models. But again, in those cases, it's not like, it's not disingenuous, you know.
It's just a budget friendly thing for people to get into.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes you see it in pedals. I've seen it in like multi effects, you know, like, like an all-in-one box, a multi-effects, and they're like, these artists have programmed it, or this artist's name is on it, or it's associated with it. And again, you can kind of get behind it because you say, well, yeah, I know the guy uses that old, you know, 60s Marshall in the studio. I know he's making his sounds on this Lexicon piece and this plugin or whatever. He's got all these things, but this multi-effects is like how to get close to it. So I don't really begrudge the guys, you know,
and
the, unless they're really flat out lying to you, going like, no, no, I made my album with this $299 box.
Exactly.
And it sounds amazing. And the album and is recorded on this.
I can
and
think
it's
of
very not.
I can think very not. I can think of two examples where I think it's done right. Is it Tech 21 that does the Richie Kotzen fly rig?
Probably. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a buddy that is.
Yeah.
Heard a lot of good things.
Huge Richie Kotzen fan. Huge Richie Kotzen fan. And he said that he went and saw him somewhere in Kentucky, and his pedal board was just that.
Yeah.
He's using it live.
Right.
Yeah. And that's an example of a product that was designed for a purpose.
Exactly.
It was like, I need this thing so that when I don't care what backline I'm stuck with, I want to have a little box that can save me.
Exactly.
And so that's that. You're right. That would be a true use of the product. Mm-hmm. And then I still wouldn't, it wouldn't bother me if I also saw him play a gig
without
an awesome backline,
exactly,
and nothing, and not one of those on the floor.
Right.
That
right.
that wouldn't bother me either. You know.
And Max, here's something I can actually get you to speak about. Here's another here's another company that I think does it right is TC Electronics with their Tone Print, because they don't come out and say, "Hey, man, they use just this pedal."
Right.
What they say is, "Hey man, we worked with this guy. This guy found some tones he liked out of the pedal, and we uploaded them. If you want to download them, that's cool."
Right.
You know. So, and I mean, I have no idea the business relationship with these people. I don't want to know. You know what I mean? I don't want to. I hope everybody's making money. Why would I hope? Right. You know, I hope everybody in the world's making millions of dollars.
They're,
you know, whatever.
They're not. Right.
They're not. Though. Communist.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I you know what I mean?
No. I mean, rising tide lifts all ships, right?
Like, exactly.
Again, like somebody is upset that somebody else is making money off of an LTD or an Epiphone or something. It's like, you know, that's how's that something I'm doing? Like, I love just let the guy make the money. It's yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Like, especially, you didn't make less money today
yeah.
because that guy got a royalty check.
Exactly.
Like, that didn't come out of your union job. Like, oh, come on, Slash, you know. Like, no, God bless him, you know.
Right. Yeah. So, no, I thought that was a good question. Yeah. So, this one... I'm sorry, Frank. I'm trying to hit you hard while we got you, because these are questions we've gotten over the past few months mm-hmm. that I'm not qualified to answer.
We're just kind of saving them for Frank.
Yeah. I've never admitted the yeah. fact that some people say I'm an expert on things.
Yeah,
that's not me.
No,
shows how much they know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Rudimentary English and math skills.
Right. Exactly. I wouldn't even say that, but. Okay, a guy says, can you discuss brands of pickups and types of magnets you like? Little precursor, in case you didn't watch the first one with Frank. Frank was the lead designer on the Fishman Fluence pickups and the P-Rails from Seymour Duncan, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I invented the P-Rails. And with Fishman, it's, you know, highly collaborative. And
okay.
So, yeah, we're working with those guys.
But you're highly
but
involved.
I've been making pickups for a long time.
Right. I just want to let people know that, like, you're not just some dude. Right. You know what
AKA,
I mean?
He's kind of smart.
Yeah, exactly. He's kind of smart with the pickups. Kind okay. So, okay. So, once again, sorry. Can you discuss different brands of pickups and the types of magnets you like?
Who has strong opinions?
I all I know is that the ones that are staggered look like they cost more money.
Okay.
In other words, I don't know once. Anything.
And this is from Brett Diaz, by the way.
Yeah, Brett Diaz.
Hey, Brett.
And there's an agent named Brett Diaz. He's an agent for Philip Stacey. Philip Stace.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I think his name's Brett
it's
Diaz.
It's probably the same guy.
It's definitely the same guy because he cares about pick magnets.
Yes.
But no, I honestly, I'm tapped out of this because I don't know anything. I know what I like. I've swapped pickups and said, I like this, but they were all the Alnico magnets. So.
Right. I mean, I can burn daylight on this one if you want. You know,
well, I really got to use the restroom. So go, no.
Yeah,
I'm just going to set this here.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. No, this is a B-side Led Zeppelin album. Okay. Getting ready to drop right now.
Let me
you
just
guys
say,
can work on your stock portfolios.
Let me
back.
Ask. Let me ask a question that's going to be easier, okay? And then I'll let you go.
Yeah.
What all kind of is there? Just nickel and Alnico traditionally.
Nickel is not a magnet.
Okay.
So,
oh yeah, okay.
Ceramic.
Ceramic. That's what I mean. Ceramic yeah. and Alnico.
Yeah. So the most basic breakdown in a typical pickups is going to be that there's going to be Alnico ones and then ceramic. Ceramic is a rare earth magnet. It's usually kind of strong. It's a little bit brighter, and the inductance is lower. So you know, that's how you get some of the brightness. None of these are all generalizations. None of these things hold true, like, start to finish. You can make, you know, pick up with this magnet sound more like that and vice versa. But, you know, in Alnico, there's grades of magnets. Alnico 2 up to, you know, 9 or
I've
whatever
seen five,
beyond. Yeah.
You know, right?
So 2 and 5 are the most common. 2 is a little bit softer. It's a little bit sweeter sounding. And 5 is a little bit more present. And the you know it's a little stronger. It's of a magnetic field, right?
Is one more specific to single coils versus humbuckers, or can
no.
they both be?
No, that's the thing. So like, there's Alnico 2, you know, both humbuckers and Alnico 5 humbuckers and single coils
and
or whatever.
Ceramic humbuckers and everything.
Yeah, you usually don't see a ceramic single coil. And again, I'm talking about like stuff that's desired, not. Like an inexpensive stock pickup or whatever.
Right.
And so when there are like Asian made stock pickups that have a ceramic magnet and metal
just
pole
big
pieces.
Bar.
Yeah. Just yeah. a bar underneath a single coil. And sometimes those are okay. No one's, you know, we're not raining any parades here, but
right.
it's usually not the thing that people want
okay.
Or pay money for when they're right. replacing pickups. But then there's these anomalies like GNL's pickups. All those magnetic field designs, they have giant ceramic magnets underneath. But the arrangement is a little different.
We'll say one thing about you those know. Pickups. They've always sounded different. And and while I don't prefer them, I can totally appreciate there is a difference in them. Sorry, I'm going to give away Brian Wampler's business model here, but it's something everybody should keep in mind, you know, better or different.
Right.
You know, don't do something like that's why you don't do a lot of clones.
Right.
Unless you can figure out how to do it better or different.
Right.
Yes. You know, so like I can appreciate the different. I don't prefer it.
Yeah.
Because better, let's face it, is an opinion.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. So I can, I don't want to say dispel something, but you know, sometimes people say, well, Alnico 2 is warmer and Alnico 5 is like brighter, you know, and ceramic is really cutting and bright. And so if you have a bright guitar, you should put Alnico 2 magnet pickups in it to warm it up. And if you have a dark sounding guitar, you should put Alnico 5 or ceramic, you know, to brighten it up. And it's a really, that's a pretty broad generalization. A lot of times people have a bright guitar because they like a bright sound.
Right.
So it's like, okay, you should put Alnico 5 in that bright guitar because that
like
makes
that
even more different than, you know what I mean? So you can use pickups and magnets to sort of homogenize guitars. Like kind of, you say, I like all my guitars to kind of sound like this. So the fact that I have all these different types of guitars, well, I want them to be more similar to one another.
Right.
Or you can do the opposite and be like, no, the reason I have 10 guitars is because they all sound really
different. Sounds, right.
Yeah, so I'm going to take this one to 11 on that, and I'm going to take this one to 11 over there and shoot it off. And so if we were talking about just what we like, I'm not a big fan of pickups that are powered with samarium cobalt. Maybe
now,
somebody
do you get that from Samaria?
Yeah. Maybe somebody can. Maybe
that
somebody
actually
will
got
do it.
Max,
yeah, it's a good. That is good. Yeah.
Sorry.
When a magnet gets really strong, like neodymium, you have to be very careful, I think. So I've played a lot of neodymium pickups that I don't like because the magnetic field is really rigid. And so if you're talking about a guitar pickup with skinny little strings, it's like that's a magnetic field that doesn't want to be disturbed. It's like too strong. And people think like, well, that's going to really supercharge the strings and get the magnetic, and it's going to be really loud and all of this other, you know, qualities that they think they're going to get out of it. And then when you play it, it doesn't, or it has these other side effects. So yeah, there's the type of material that affects the inductance and that kind of affects the tonality. There's the Gauss strength, how strong it is.
The what? I'm sorry?
The Gauss strength, or just how strong the magnet is.
Okay, is that a measurement? Is that a unit of measurement? Okay.
But you can have an Alnico 5 and then degauss it down to the level, to a lower level. Nobody does this that I know of, but outside of Fishman, but they're not just calibrating the magnets, the Alnicos. Like, they're able to calibrate and sell, they're magnetizing ceramics. Like, everyone just buys ceramic magnets already magnetized.
Okay.
They're magnetizing ceramics and nailing.
See, that's what I was going to ask.
A strength, you know.
I know nothing about magnets, so this may be, well, it's like I always say, there's no such thing as stupid questions, just stupid people.
Right.
So, like, this may be a stupid people question. Whenever you use, let's say you're building a pickup and you get magnets, and let's say you don't buy them, like, off of like Stumac or something.
Yeah.
Like a company does it. Do you actually charge those magnets or do they come pre-charged?
Usually you'll charge them yourself if it's an Alnico magnet.
Okay.
And usually if it's a ceramic, you're buying it pre-charged.
Okay.
Because it's like made that way.
Okay.
So the ceramic magnets are
did you know that?
Molded that way.
I use magnets in my fridge.
Yeah.
They hold up my gold star.
They do hold your papers with gold stars.
Yep. And if you get too many, then it's not enough strength. So you would have needed a stronger magnet to go through like more pieces of paper.
One thing at a time.
Did you ever have a piece of paper fall to the ground when you're trying to use a magnet to hold it on the refrigerator?
Let's be honest. I've never had too many gold stars.
Okay. It's a problem that Max doesn't have.
But no, yeah, because I didn't know that. I didn't know if they came pre-charged or what. Did you know? I had no idea.
No.
Yeah. So. And there's some boutique winders who, like, don't really have, like, a good magnetizer. So all they have is, like, other stronger magnets to charge up the Alnicos.
Now, have you seen that thing where they take a copper tube and drop a magnet in it?
I love that. Mm. And, I love it. I mean,
it has nothing to do with pickups.
It has tons to do with pickups.
For real.
Okay. For real.
So much you know.
Yeah.
That was a stupid people part.
Those, if for those of you who haven't seen it, Don't do it now because you're watching the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait
till
it's over.
Open another tab.
But there's YouTube videos out there where people will take a neodymium magnet, super strong magnet, and they'll drop it through a copper tube. And what happens is it like slows down. Mm-hmm. It defies gravity. Or they'll take the magnet and they'll push it up against a piece of copper
and it'll push the piece
of copper. Yeah. And copper is not magnetic. So it's not about the magnet sucking itself to the copper at all. It's the induction of eddy currents. And the eddy currents are these things that develop when you're dragging the magnetic field across the copper or aluminum or say these other materials. And this is stuff that people, when you get really nerd out on pickups, like people don't even think like this. But
if this is why you make the big
bucks. You have a lot, yeah. I wish. If you have a buildup of eddy currents in your pickup design, they're not really doing anything. But when you start to play, when you start to play fast or you attack hard, what they really end up doing is like slowing down the reaction time of the magnetic field. And so you can take, if you have it like an uncovered pickup, really a covered one too, you could take a piece of, like just a sheet of brass, stick it over the top of the pickup, and you'll hear the top end just go dead like that.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, to whatever degree, how thick that copper is. But again, it's still based, it's like velocity based.
Okay.
So in the case of a pickup like Fluence, they're really fast. They are they're immediate. You know, the sensitivity, the interaction with your fingers, right? The strings, super fast. And so we experiment around, you know, with players and things like that. And so if somebody wants less of that, then it's then maybe it's a thin aluminum or brass, you know, that's involved in it or whatever.
Okay.
But it's why people don't like pickups with covers. If they pull the cover off, they're like, oh, I notice a difference.
Yeah, it opens
up. It's not magnetic. But then, like, some people will say, I didn't hear any difference. But, like, maybe that guy doesn't really hit very hard.
Right.
You know, I mean, it could be maybe the guy just likes warm tones and his amps treble is down, too, so he doesn't really hear.
There's so many variables in
that. Yeah, there's a million variables. But old, like, brass covers are terrible. You know, that's, like, there was a period of time when Gibson was using
like
70s bad covers.
Yeah, like 70s deluxes, right?
Right, and so it was like, no, get those covers off. Those are awful. But even a nickel cover, you know, will induce some of that stuff. So then you get to things like, why, like, some people would be like, man, DiMarzio's kind of all have a certain sound, you know. Of course, a lot of that's the designers.
That's what I was getting ready to say. I mean, you can
and
say
Duncan's
that about
have
Brian's
this
pedals.
Or they have that. But then if you really want to dive in deeper, like almost all DiMarzios until recently, they have brass base plates.
Really?
So that changes the inductance, but it also can manipulate those eddy currents. And so that's where you might get like a more fluid attack out of DiMarzio for a shredder, you know, neck pickup, fluidy solos. He might like that. And then you put a Duncan Pearly Gates in there. And it's more crispy, and it's, you know, it's got more slice on the pick attack. So then with the Fluence, you know, we didn't want to drag down like the pick attack, because that's one of the awesomest things about it.
Right.
Is the feel, the biofeedback loop between the player and the instrument. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody really wants to soften that, then we have like a high frequency tilt in there that softens it, also kind of like how like a 25-foot cable would have done.
It's a little tone control. A little bit. For your tone control.
Nice. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, that's... It's mind-bottling. You know what I mean? It's totally...
Bottling.
Totally mind-bottling.
It's mind-bottling.
Right.
But how about my haircut?
I like that.
Got my haircut.
Got before and after pictures.
Oh, yeah, wait.
Oh, yeah.
Max wanted me to show this. He wanted me to start the episode like this and say, hi, I'm Travis. So... I lost all effect now, but
lost your star power.
I did lose my star power. I lost it. I had it. I never had it.
It's true. I never had it.
Man, I'm so popular.
So did
you
come home? Were your kids like, "Who is this strange
dude,
man?"
Dude, it's so funny. My son kind of did. He really did. I opened the door. I was like, "Hey, buddy," and he just looked at me. And goes, It was like I know that voice, but
who? Why is that man talking to me with my dad's voice?
Yeah. I need an adult.
Yeah. But I mean, it was literally like maybe 2 seconds, but he just kind of looked at me and it was like,
oh,
your hair has literally been long his entire life.
Yeah. So longish. I wouldn't say it's long. Long's got to be past shoulders.
Whatever.
Medium length. Yeah, I hate that when you're watching sports. They're like, oh, he just showed great strength.
Yeah. Length?
Yeah, strength. Right. Yeah, be strong. Yeah, length.
You know what's one for, big one for me is if – so you have length, width.
Height.
And?
Yeah, I remember that.
He used to always say height.
Height.
And
he used
height.
To say height. And I was right. Like, I was like, dude, it's height. And you're like, are you sure? I was like – I was like, what'd I say? I said, it's not weight. It's weight.
Right.
And he was like, oh, yeah.
But yeah. No, people say height a lot.
Yeah, and I would say the majority of people actually say it. But yeah,
that's you just need
one.
Better friends.
I think here in Martinsville, we're taught to say height.
I think it's demographic. I think it's more geographic.
Geographic.
Boom. Yeah. Jog free. Where are we at on time, Bob? I don't have my timer. Yeah. He has no clue.
it's probably a good place to
okay. Yeah,
to pause for this.
Let's
for
go
the
ahead.
Episode.
And, yeah, let's. Lunch. I still got it. Yeah, lunch. But I still do have a question about pickups that I want to ask you. You're sticking around for another episode, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Remember sure in Goonies?
Huh? Yeah.
Where they had like the like Sloth was chained to the wall. Like,
Sloth I'm, love I'm, trunk. I'm,
are you guys? Yeah. Do it, Max.
Hey, you guys.
Well, I'm chained here for a couple of days.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Baby Ruth. Baby. Ruth.
Okay. So check us out online, facebook.com.
Hey, with that haircut, too. You're Sean, what's his name? Aston or something?
Hey, I'll take that. I thought you were going to say Sloth. I was like, it's not receding that
no,
bad.
No,
Goonies never say die.
I meant your look.
Okay, I got you. But facebook.com/ChasingTonePodcast, Instagram, username.
@ChasingTonePodcast,
yep. Right? Wampler Pedals Tone Group taking off.
We'll have a Twitter here shortly, too.
Okay, a Twitter. Also, Wampler Pedals Street Team, is that right? That's just on Instagram, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, some great
it's
stuff.
It's just a lot of reposting of different people's
stuff. Yeah, just kind of like fan page kind of thing. Yeah. So.
Goonies Fan Club.
Goonies Fan Club. Chapter President, Max Jeffrey. But so I think that's it, right?
Yep, that's
Max's blog.
Boom.
Max's blog.
Wampler.com/blog.
Yeah.
Slash blog. So I think that's it. So
that's
for Frank, Max, and Brian, I'm Travis. Thank you so very much for watching.